So the reading tonight is from Matthew 6, verses 1 to 18, and then verse 33. Giving to the needy. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And verse 33, which says, but seek first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Well, we're going to continue to find our way through the Sermon on the Mount. And during the devotions over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and we've had some wonderful lead-ins to the Lord's Prayer. And on Thursday, Brad, of course, spoke to us about hallowed be your name. So I'm just building on that for this afternoon. So first of all, I wanted to say that prayer is the most amazingly honest kind of thing that we can do. It's our most honest kind of speech. Generally speaking in life, we're not all that honest with each other, and we shouldn't be. Some people like to say, I'm just being honest, and they tell you the most horrible thing about yourself. We don't really want that. The book of Proverbs says to us that our words ought to be wise, and to be a wise person, you know when to speak and when not to speak into a particular issue. And so, in human life, we have to be kind of masked in our verbal, in our talk. But when it comes to God, we can be totally open, totally honest in what we say. And so that's why I say it's the most honest thing that we can do. God already knows our hearts, our minds, our thoughts. And so just to express that before God is a wonderful thing. In Psalm 139, we read this, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. For God knows us and he wants us to express ourselves honestly before him. So before Before I look at this second petition in the Lord's Prayer, Your Kingdom Come, I want to speak about the amazing structure of this prayer. Now, Brad again has already spoken a little bit about the structure in Thursday's morning's devotion, but I just wanted to speak again about the structure, this amazing prayer structure. What we often do when it comes to praying is this. We talk about our needs, our wants, our agenda. That's what comes first of all in our prayers. I would think that if you recorded my prayers and I could record your prayers, that I would see this amazing thing where I see my agenda comes well before looking at God's agenda. Now, you might disagree, but then I would think would be an exception to the rule. But it's really the wrong rule. The structure of the Lord's Prayer is that we put His kingdom, His name, His will before our own. And so we start in our prayer by thinking about these things. That is a good thing to do. And then we have the privilege of looking at our needs and give us today our daily bread, lead us not into temptation, deliver me from the evil one. We are then allowed to look at our needs. And so there's just a lesson in how this prayer is structured. God's agenda first, our agenda follows. Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, the first line of that book begins this way: it's not about you. And the Lord's Prayer really pulls that up. When you think of the summation of the law, how does it go? It goes, love the Lord first and then your neighbour as yourself. George Barna, who's an evangelical writer and pollster, said this, and excuse me for using the word Americans here, it could just as well be Australians. To increasingly millions of Americans, God, if we believe in a supernatural deity, exists for the pleasure of humankind. This prayer is a cure for that. He continues to write, it will be every man for himself, with no second thought or regrets about personal or societal implications of this incredible, selfish, nihilistic, narcissistic way of life. Jen read out the last verse second last verse in chapter 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything else will be given to you as well. So again, the structure of the prayer turns our attention away from it's all about me to it's all about God, and that's a wonderful thing. Now, this second petition, Your Kingdom Come, is a way of moving our minds away from my kingdom, my life, to what's really important to God, and that is that Jesus is King and that He rules, and we want His rule to extend and extend into the world. When we say this line in the Lord's Prayer, we're just talking about the fact that there's Christ's kingdom and then there's the kingdom of the evil one. And we would have to say there's more people in the evil one than in God's kingdom. And yet our prayer is that God's kingdom be extended. We're acknowledging that Jesus rules as king, but also there's Satan's kingdom, the prince of this world who wants to overturn Christ's kingdom. We're saying that there's a kingdom of light as opposed to a kingdom of darkness. There's a kingdom of life in opposition to a kingdom of death. So what I want us to do tonight, just briefly, is to look at this line in the Lord's Prayer, Your Kingdom Come, and I want you to see it in terms of concentric circles going outwards. You know, when you throw a pebble in a pond, you get the one circle and then others follow. And we want to start off by looking at the first circle, and then we're going to extend it out to others. And so we first of all say that this prayer is about us individually. It's about you and me. And when we pray this line in the Lord's Prayer, what are we praying for? We're praying that God would have his rule in my life. We're praying that God would be king and authority in my life today. Lord, help me to acknowledge you as king at university, in my school, at my work, while I'm playing sport. Lord, occupy my mind so that I would acknowledge you in all areas of life. Be the master of my ethics and politics. Help me to be faithful in my service to you, and may I always bow the knee before your authority and your word in my life. And so we begin tightly. And we need to pray that prayer, don't we? So often the agenda is all about us and our life. We're so narrow in our focus. And this prayer says, Lord, be king and ruler of my life, every aspect of life. Help me to honour you as Lord, in my giving, in my service, with my thinking, in obedience to your will and your word. Lord, help me to do that. Help me to be the best husband I can be, the best child in a family I can be, the best grandparent I can be. Help me to honour you in every area of life. And then we just expand that circle to the next one. Lord, be the ruler of my family. Be the ruler of my marriage. Be the ruler of my church. Be the ruler over the ministers and the elders and the congregation. Lord, may we as a family serve you and your kingdom. May we as a church be at your disposal in the world. O Lord, rule us. Help it never to be that our agenda is what is important, but rather your agenda in every area of life. Thirdly, we are praying that more people might know Jesus. So when we're praying your kingdom come, we're just praying for an expansion of the kingdom of God. We're praying that more and more people would bow the knee before Christ. So we're praying that our youth groups might reach the community. We're praying for our neighbour to be won over for Christ. We're praying for all the activities of our church that they might include more and more people. We're praying for our scripture teachers at school. We're praying for our overseas ministry workers. We're praying for IJM. We're just praying for the kingdom of God to include more and more people in it, and that God would bless all our activities. Fourthly, we are praying for Christ's rule in every area of life. Every time a piece of legislation is passed in New South Wales or Australia, and you know that it specifically goes against the will of God, I pray, your kingdom come. Sometimes it fills you with great sadness because as a nation we're drifting further and further away from God. And you pray, your kingdom come, Lord. Rule over these institutions, rule over the university, rule over the courts, rule over our parliament. And we know so often that this prayer needs to be said because of the way we keep turning away from you, from God. Your kingdom come. includes me, my family, my church, my neighbours, and the country in which I live. And lastly, we're praying for the King to return. We're praying for Jesus to return. We're praying that one day he will make everything new and there will be no kingdom of Satan, no kingdom of darkness. That's what we're also praying for. It's a courageous prayer that we pray here for the return of Christ and that the whole world will bow the knee before King Jesus. We're praying that the devil be thrown into the lake of burning sulphur. We're praying for the time when there will be no more sin and suffering in the world. So all that's caught up in the line, your kingdom come. And you can see why suddenly it's not a quick line in the prayer that we just say, your kingdom come, but it's expanded and expanded and expanded. It goes from me to our world to Jesus' return. And we need to be praying this prayer all the time. Lastly, it's a prayer. I just want to make a few observations and then I'll close. It's a prayer. What is a prayer? It's saying that I am weak, but God has all power. When it comes to hallowing the name of God, we know that we're weak in ourselves, that we want God himself to hallow his own name. Hallow be your name. We're weak, Lord, make your name great in the world. When it comes to this kingdom, we want God's kingdom to expand. We know we're weak and we're praying out of our weakness to God. May your kingdom come. Make your kingdom grow. Win our neighbour over for Christ. They're the things that we're praying for. Secondly, we have to know that the kingdom of God is marching forward. It doesn't always feel that way. Here in Australia, when laws change and the churches become deserted places and shut down and become restaurants or homes, we despair at times and we think, well, what's happening? How's this kingdom growing? And yet we know we have to have a big picture view that in the world today there are more and more people coming to Christ. And that since Jesus' resurrection, the gospel has grown and grown and grown to encompass the world. And we pray for that continued growth in the world and, of course, here in Australia. We want more and more people to bow down before King Jesus, who, of course, is the King of the kingdom. And why wouldn't we want that? Again, Jesus' kingdom is a kingdom of light and life. In a sense, happiness and purpose and direction. It's a place of reconciliation and forgiveness and hope. And if people aren't bowing their knee to Jesus, then they're bowing their knee to Satan and to sin and to evil in the world. Why would we want that for anyone? And so our prayer is that more and more people would come to Jesus and accept the forgiveness of their sins that they can find in his name. And in doing so, become part of his family, his kingdom, and enjoy his grace in their lives. Let me pray.